From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today on the Third Commandment. The Third Commandment prohibits our taking the Lord's name in vain. I trust you'll stay with us as we continue to consider it, because it's so important to the Lord. Somehow it has become a joke among men who seem to think nothing of using the name of God in the most irreverent fashion. But He says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And that's our study today. Now, we've been receiving a fairly constant stream of mail from you, our listeners, and I must say we do appreciate your interest. That many of you have found these programs a source of blessing is an encouragement and a joy to us. So keep your letters and your emails and indeed your telephone calls coming. We enjoy receiving them. You may contact us by mail at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at ltbs@freepres.com. That is freepres@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free. Our telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. South Dakota enacting a strong new anti-abortion law, which supporters hope will ultimately force the Supreme Court of the United States to revisit the Roe v. Wade decision of 1973, national attention is once again being focused on the heinous wrong of abortion on demand. Over the last 30 years, the infamous Supreme Court decision to make abortion on demand a constitutional right, perhaps the court's most outrageous example of judicial activism, has become the cornerstone of the liberal agenda. It has set the stage for all sorts of so-called rights to be discovered in the Constitution, rights that the nation's founders obviously never had the slightest intention of enacting. During all these years, it has appeared well nigh impossible to get the court to revisit the issue, and any nominee for a position in the Supreme Court will suffer the fate of Robert Bork if his record is openly in favour of reversing Roe v. Wade. To make sure that abortion on demand remains a constitutional right, liberals have spent millions of dollars to convince the American people that it is a just and humane policy. They know that if the people turn against it in sufficient numbers, the politicians will follow suit. Now comes a Rasmussen poll that shows that despite the intense and constant propaganda campaign, most Americans believe that abortion is morally wrong, except in cases to save a mother's life. An interesting statistic is that among Americans who are under 50, a slightly higher percentage believe that abortion is morally wrong. All this tells us that the culture war is not over. If you were to believe the mainstream media, you would think that only a few Neanderthals still oppose current abortion policy. As usual, the media are so busy promoting their own agenda that they skew the news. The truth is that most people are profoundly concerned about the morality of killing millions of unborn children. They cannot easily accept that children in the womb are nothing more than a mass of cells having no rights. They feel repelled by the idea that babies may be killed off as a belated method of birth control. That is why 55% of Americans look on abortion as morally wrong. And that's why legislators in South Dakota have passed a law that outlaws abortion in all cases except to save a mother's life and punishes doctors guilty of performing an abortion with a fine of $5,000 and a prison term of 5 years. We may expect the South Dakota law to be challenged all the way to the Supreme Court. That, of course, is precisely what the law's framers want. They seek to force the court, with its new and professedly conservative justices, to face up to America's shame, the relentless slaughter of its millions of unborn. I'm never overconfident in the dependability of judges or politicians. If the Supreme Court does the right thing, I rejoice. But it appears that the best way to ensure the downfall of the iniquitous culture of death is to persuade more and more Americans of the barbaric immorality that is being perpetrated every day right under their noses and under the protection of their Constitution. As I said, when enough people speak, politicians, always eager to ride the tide of public opinion, will follow. In saying all this, we must remember that the abortion issue is a battle, not the war. The real war is the nation's long war against God, His law, and His gospel. It is the repudiation of these that has allowed the flood of evil to engulf the land. So, much as Christians should do what they can to win the battle on abortion, they should never lose sight of the fact that their wider and deeper purpose must be to bring Christ to the millions of Americans who are yet lost in sin. It's not only a change of American policy we need, it's a change in the American people, a change that only saving grace can make.
Hallelujah, it is done, I believe on the Son, I am saved by the blood of crucified one. 'Tis the promise of God for salvation to give unto him who on Jesus his Son will believe. Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son. I am saved by the blood of the Christ. Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. Though the pathway be lonely and dangerous too, surely Jesus is able to carry me through. Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on
today we conclude our study of the third commandment, taking up where we left off yesterday, with a look at a frequent yet overlooked form of blasphemy.
Blasphemy is speaking against God. And the worst form of it is blaspheming the Holy Ghost, which in Matthew 12 is deliberately attributing to the devil the work of the Holy Spirit. But there's a very much more common form of blasphemy. Remember when I was telling you what it meant to take the name in vain? The word vain is a noun that means emptiness, vanity. It indicates a nothing, a non-entity, a worthless thing. To blaspheme the Lord's name is to hold God to be despicable or worthless or negligible or to treat Him as a non-entity. In other words, I want you to get this. If you live your life as if God did not exist, as if God had not spoken, you blaspheme Him with every breath you take, with every step you take, with every muscle you move. To treat God as unimportant is the ultimate blasphemy. That's what God calls it. Then there is apostasy, which is using the Lord's name to depart from the Lord's truth or to deny His revelation. Jeremiah spoke of the prophets that prophesied lies in the Lord's name, saying, "I have dreamed, I have dreamed." You know, I have heard prophets like that. I have listened to modern day self-styled prophets who said, "I have dreamed. The Lord has told me. The Lord has given me a vision." And all the time they were leading people away from God's Word and away from the central revelation of Scripture. Peter warns us of this. 2 Peter 2 and 1, "There shall be false teachers among you who bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them." And he says, "By reason of whom the way of truth shall be blasphemed." Apostasy. Didn't Jesus warn us of this? This is not some remote thing. Listen to the words of the Savior and see if you can't catch an echo of the so-called prophets who parade in their hundreds around America today. "Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That's their crime. That's their blasphemy. In thy name have cast out devils. In thy name have done many wonderful works. Then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Notice, ye cursed. They cursed God by their apostasy. He cursed them in his judgment. Then there's hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? It's lifting up the Lord's name as a cover for sin. Jude 4 says there are certain men crept in unawares, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Hypocrites coming into the church. Peter warns, don't use your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Paul says you're called to liberty, but don't use your liberty for an occasion for the flesh. What is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy, in the words of Jeremiah, is stealing, murdering, committing adultery, swearing falsely, and then coming and standing before God in His house, which is called, he says, by my name. And then you say, we're delivered to do all these abominations. Jeremiah 7. That's hypocrisy. Now, religious hypocrisy is a cursed thing. God condemns it for many reasons. It's lying. It's covering up for many other sins. But first of all, it's a blasphemy against God. It's a breach of the third commandment. Now let's bring it down to ourselves. You come to God's house in a very sanctimonious fashion. You can lift up the Lord's name. But you get home, you're a different man. On goes the television, Sabbath day or not. And yes, I will be dealing 2 weeks from tonight with the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. Because I believe in 10 commandments, not 9. But after your sanctimonious use of the Lord's name, you can go home. And on goes the television, and whatever filth and ungodliness and uncleanness is there, you're quite at home. You go out into business and you can be as crooked as a corkscrew, as vile-tempered and vicious-tongued as the most ungodly. What are you doing? You're practicing hypocrisy. You're using the holy name of the thrice holy God as a cloak for your own vicious sin. God abhors it. Then there's profanity. Now I've left this to the end because it's the most frequent and the most accepted form of taking the Lord's name in vain. It's an irreverent use of God's name. By irreverent, I simply mean it is using God's name without any sense of fear of God's person. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The man who has not started to fear God is a fool. And using the Lord's name without any sense of fear or reverence of the great and holy and awesome person of God is taking His name in vain. It's a light or a thoughtless use of the divine name. Sometimes people will burst out into a passionate invective and they would make it all the more terrible by invoking the Lord's name. Often they used the Lord's name as a word to curse or swear. There's nothing new in this. Jeremiah 23:10 says, "Because of swearing, the land mourneth." Hosea 4:2 laments, "By swearing," that is cursing, "lying and killing, and stealing and committing adultery, they break out," that is, they break out in wanton fury, "and blood toucheth blood, violent cryings piled one upon another." Again, I have not time to follow through, but I want you to see that breaking the third commandment never stands alone. Look at America tonight, blood touching blood. There's not a city in America, there's hardly a town or a hamlet where a man or a woman can walk in safety. Blood touching blood. Violence piled upon violence. You can blame the education system. You can blame the social system. You can blame this and blame that. But I want to tell you, when a nation loses the fear of God, it loses the mainspring of societal purity. God says it. By cursing. That's the beginning. Oh, it's a little thing. Listen to any radio program. God's name is taken in vain constantly. It's nothing. But God says that's just the first link in a chain that ends in the cesspool and the bloodbath that we have across the nation tonight. To make matters worse, this crime is almost exclusively practiced against the Lord Jehovah. Heathens never profane the names of their idols. It is said that some secular Muslims have been known to use the name of Allah, likely. But certainly here in this country, would there not be an uproar? Would there not be rioting in the streets in certain places if on television or in radio the name of Allah or the name of Muhammad were used in some light or frivolous or mocking fashion? Oh no, these crimes cannot be offered to the false god of the heathen Muslim. They're directed only to the holy name of the triune Jehovah. Profaning the holy name. Even professing Christians are guilty. Stop to think of the things you say. And you will find that there are many substitutes that people use for expletives. Put something in the Lord's name, but it doesn't fool God. I have heard preachers expostulate in a meaningless way. The charismatics are terrible for this. Just taking the holy name of God in vain. Be careful to remember whose name it is. Angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy." And so should we. That's our solemn responsibility. And I finish very quickly by saying this, that the Lord threatens certain and terrible judgment on the wicked misuse of His name. He'll not hold him guiltless who takes His name in vain. I want to tell you the day is coming when we will all stand before God, and the judge of all the earth will don, as it were, the black cap of capital judgment, and out will go the verdict, guilty, to hell as the eternal punishment of those who blaspheme the name. What makes that punishment all the more terrible is that the very name the blasphemer curses is the name that God has given to save him. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.